This podcast of Resistance Radio, hosted by Stuart Acuff, was broadcast on May 31st, 2017 at the studios of EnlightenRadio.org in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Stuart's guest is David Eckstein, a former co-worker when Stuart was organizing director of the AFL-CIO and a longtime leader of the Teamsters Union.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is Resistance Radio on EnlightenRadio.org from Shepherdstown, West Virginia. This is your host, Stuart Acuff, with my friend, my leader, station manager, founder, and for me and my stupid ass self, engineer, John Case.
I've been expelled from every political trend in the country.
Well, you know, that's probably a badge of honor. In today's world, that's probably a badge of honor. That means you were expelled from the Teabaggers.
I know. They threw me out of a meeting. You know?
And many other bad sorts.
Oh, even my commie friends don't like me anymore, so. You know, I mean.
Well, your socialist friends love you, brother.
I know. They've spread. I don't know. We're just.
We are broad-minded, you know, enough to be totally accepting.
I like the hippies, you know. I mean, I think some of them are walking around with their feet planted in midair, but I like them anyway, you know.
Yeah,
hippies
are always great.
You know, and I'm digging the movements here of people who are getting out in the street and, you know, getting
You know,
tired.
It is hot. It is hot right now in the Eastern Panhandle. One of the things I'm going to talk about today, we got a great show for you, brothers and sisters. We're going to talk a little bit early on. John and I are going to chat a bit about Greg Allman, who one of the greatest musicians of the last 40 years in America, one of the greatest songwriters, and one of the best voices in rock and roll and blues in the last 40 years. Greg Allman just passed. As a musician friend of mine said, in a Facebook notice to me, Joe Newberry used to play with the Red Clay Ramblers down in North Carolina. He said, Greg Allman was part of the soundtrack of our lives, and ain't that the truth, especially for Southerners. We're going to talk about Greg Allman. We're going to talk about the resistance. We're going to talk about Trump's disastrous global trip. We're going to talk about the federal investigations, and we're going to talk about resistance in the Eastern Panhandle, starring West Virginia Women's March, Vigilance, which is a part of Indivisible, and the Eastern Panhandle Single Payer Coalition, which is led by Lynn Yellott, a great activist in this community. John, you know, I love the Allman Brothers.
Do you?
And you cannot love the Allman Brothers without loving Greg Allman. I mean, he brought two unmistakable sounds to that band. And there were a lot of elements of great music with that band. But he brought a great voice, and he brought that Hammond B3 black church organ. That played such an important role in soul and in gospel, in some blues, and in rock and roll of the late 60s and the 70s. You know, you think about some of Stevie Winwood's tunes that were relied heavily on the organ. You think of Bob Dylan and his first rock and roll song, Like a Rolling Stone, which relied heavily on that church organ. And of course, all of the Allman Brothers relied heavily on Greg Allman's
songwriting
organ. What?
Songwriting. And he was the lead vocalist.
He was the lead vocalist, you know, yeah.
So, and he did a lot of the songwriting.
Yes, he did a lot of
Course, there's all the mystical Duane Allman's guitar is missed, okay? But because there were some tunes in there that just were just spiritual beyond belief.
Right. Yeah, that's
attained that, partly because of Duane's guitar playing. But you're right, Greg was the author. I'm told he was taught how to play guitar. He taught Duane how to play guitar.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was that. Younger, and someone a friend of his had a guitar, and you know, he got into it. He just got absorbed in it, and then he started to teach his brother how to play. You know, and of course his brother became. Maybe he was part autistic. He can only focus on one thing at a time. Right. We don't know that for sure. That's one of those made-up narratives we were talking about with Dr. Wish there. Nonetheless,
Duane didn't need to do anything.
But he became he was just a genius on guitar
They had a great line of great guitarists after Duane. I mean. Warren Haynes Government Mule, and then
I hear he was playing at Delfest, and they say was very good. We heard from JB yesterday.
Oh, good. JB's at Delfest.
He was. He's back home now, recovering from Delfest. You know.
I saw JB. He sent me a picture. He put a picture on Facebook of JB standing with Boog Powell at the Baltimore Orioles Yankees game in Baltimore.
Wow.
Wearing a Yankees cap. Now, JB, what's up with that? You wearing a Yankees cap to an Orioles game in Orioles Stadium?
That's a good question. Maybe a caller can call in with the answer to that. Right. What was JB doing?
You know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, call your best friend up. Tell them to ask them to tune into this show.
Enlightenradio.org.
Enlightenradio.org.
There's a player right there.
And we're going to be putting a podcast out tomorrow or the next
day. Tomorrow. I got four to do. I'm going to do them this afternoon and tomorrow morning.
Okay.
They're going to be out there. Going to be out there.
I'm not trying to put you in a box, brother.
I'm going to charge you for them, and that's what's going to happen.
All right. See, you know, all right.
After Zaki offered to pay me an unsinful amount of money, I gave up on my prior position that I wasn't going to do it.
Right. Well, two other things about Greg. A sinful amount of money will make you give up on a lot of things. But two other things about Greg and the Allmans. One is the makeup of the band. I mean, we talked about Warren Haynes and Derek Trucks. Derek Trucks is now the best slide guitarist in America, as far as I'm concerned. And he was the nephew of one of the drummers. He was the nephew of Butch Trucks,
who
passed away a few months ago. And they had two drummers. One of the reasons that their sound was so hard driving was they always had two drummers, Butch Trucks and a guy named J-Mo. He only had one name, J-Mo.
J-Mo, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, let me make it a little now, because we just got an attempt to connect via Skype, okay?
Uh-huh.
And as we're not using Skype anymore, and so our number is different. Why don't we announce that, okay, right now? Because you may have had some, looked like a caller.
Yeah, that's my guest.
Oh, you got to tell, okay, you got to give him who's your guest?
David Eckstein. We're really excited.
Okay, hold on. Let me give you the right number for David to call, okay? Because he just tried to call in when there was not an answer, okay? And because I don't have Skype anymore. Okay. Skype died on me. It was just a terrible thing.
It seemed to be dying the other day, yeah.
Yeah, you know. 304-278-4113. That's 304-278-4113. And yeah, he's trying to call in again now.
John, okay. John, do you mind
playing a song while we just hold on and wait for David to get in? Okay,
yeah,
listen, we
like
can do
one
that.
One Way Out.
One Way Out. Okay, One Way Out is on the is coming up right here. Here we go, man.
Excellent.
Good morning.
Hi, David. I'm so sorry. I had to change my number here. This is John Case, and you're calling into Stewart's Resistance Radio program. But I apologize for him. He didn't know about this. I sent him a late email or something. And we had to give up on Skype. It just crashed on my machine too much. Go ahead, Stewart. Sorry about that.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, friends and sisters, brothers and sisters. Friends and neighbors, Dave, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yeah, can you hear yourself? Are you okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great to have you, Dave Eckstein. Brothers and sisters, we were going to have Lisa Ring on, who is a county Democratic Party chairman in deep South Georgia, a rural South Georgia, a big-time Bernie supporter, and I let everybody know she was going to be on, and she had something come up yesterday that she just cannot miss today. And so my friend, my good, longtime friend, running buddy, badass son of a buck, David Eckstein, who has spent his adult life rising from the ranks of unskilled labor to one of the best organizers in America, one of the best union leaders in America, and a person of vision for the future of the labor movement. Thanks for being with us, my friend. It's great to talk to you.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
A glowing report for me, huh?
Yeah, well, it's the truth. Brothers and sisters, Dave Eckstein started his union career as a dock man for Kroger. That means he was a warehouse man. He loaded trucks, right? Right, Dave?
That's correct.
Loaded trucks, practiced power weightlifting, became a competitive weightlifter. Then got involved with the Teamster Reform Movement and helped Ron Kerry get elected in the late 80s, early 90s.
'89.
And then became the field director, national field director for the Teamsters under Ron Kerry, which meant he had his fingers in everything, from strike battles to organizing battles to political stuff, the whole anything that you can do in a labor movement, in the labor movement or in a national union, Dave did it for Ron Kerry and the Teamsters. That was an important experience in your life, wasn't it, David?
It was. It was a real learning experience too, and it was probably. I have to say that as far as a union leader that I've been around, actual president of a union, I mean, he was tremendous. He really believed in involving the membership in everything, and he practiced that and believed it, and he insisted that staff do the same thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, those years, and, you know, he forced me to do a lot of things to learn things. I don't want to make it sound like he made me do stuff that was wrong, but he forced me to learn things that I wasn't necessarily ready to learn.
Yep.
But to my benefit, I did it. And he would always say, I'd say, "Why are you asking me to do it?" He said, "Because I know you'll dig in." I said, "Well, I appreciate that, and I'm going to give it a shot, right?"
Yeah, well, Eckstein does have a habit of digging in. In 2001, when I became the field director of the organizing department of the National AFL-CIO, I hired David to be one of our regional organizing coordinators. And then when I became organizing director of the department, organizing director of the AFL-CIO, Dave stepped up another round to be one of the deputy directors of the department, and a great friend, someone whose friendship I treasure. So we got a big week since the last time we were on the air with Resistance Radio, and the one we're resisting, DJ Trump, or DJ Rump, Donald J. Rump, a big week, and the latest news, well, the very latest is, gee, you just got to say it's funny. There's Trump invented a new word last night when he failed to read over his midnight text, and his thumbs went haywire, or his fingers went haywire, and he invented a new word. What is it? Kofif?
Kofifi or Fuffy or something like
Kofifi
that. I don't know.
Or
I've never heard it.
So. Kofifi or Kofif. I have to say, you know, I've had more than my fair share of experience with alcohol, and I have a grandfather who died of Alzheimer's and a father who died of Alzheimer's. I tell you, some of those pictures coming back from Europe, he either is in the beginning stages of dementia, or he's drinking a lot. I don't know which it is. He says he's a what do you call it, a teetotaler. He says he's never drank. But I tell you, you see that those vacant looks in his eyes, and at one event, he stood up at the end of the event with a vacant look in his eye and started walking in the wrong direction, and his staff had to come grab him by the arm and turn him around, and then of course he can't walk. He had to ride all the other G7 prime ministers are walking to their next event, and he has to take a golf cart.
He's just so disrespectful to other world leaders, you know. You know what he did to Angela Merkel, by disrespecting her when she was with him, and then when you seen him shove aside some of the NATO folks, in the world leaders to get to the cameras, the other
just to get to the damn camera, just to get to the damn camera.
Right.
Well, French President Macron has a tape actually on YouTube this morning welcoming researchers in climate change to come and work in France.
All right.
From the United States.
All right.
There you go,
And the very, I'm sorry, you're right, John, the very latest news, which I left out, is Der Führer, DJ Trump, DJT, DJ Rump, announced that we're pulling out of the Paris Climate Change
Agreement.
Coalition. Yeah, that's great.
What? What'd you call it?
Coalition Agreement? Agreement? It's the agreement, right?
Right. The Paris Climate Change Agreement. And so, you know, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the United States has the only national leader, at least in the Western world, who denies that climate change is created by human beings. And, you know, it's going to get up probably mid-80s here in West Virginia today.
Look,
yesterday
the climate changed every 10 minutes, okay?
Right. Yesterday the high was 55, right?
Well, we had a tornado warning in South Jefferson County. We had sunshine for the part of the day, and then it drizzled, and then we just had a mist.
Right.
Then the sun came out again, then it poured down rain again, you know? Right. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yes, that's climate change.
That's climate change, you know? Chris, we used to have my Republicans, which I used to have on the program, which I don't anymore, but they used to say, oh, it's just weather, John.
Yeah.
It's just weather.
It's just weather. It's just melting ice caps and rising seawater.
It's just weather.
And the destruction of the planet.
Put on a raincoat, John. What's your problem?
It's unbelievable.
Anyway.
You know, the guy he shoved in was...
Was it in Brussels?
Yeah, in Brussels was the... Prime Minister of Montenegro literally shoved him out of the way so he could be in front for the cameras. It's disgusting.
Yep.
Did you think that Montenegro, that maybe Bush didn't know that Montenegro was a country?
No. But then Bush called Greek people, he called them Grecians.
like the Grecian urn.
Well, like Grecian formula.
Grecian formula, yeah.
You know, I wish I had enough hair to use Grecian formula.
Yeah, same here.
I know.
Dave, are you riding? Dave's a Harley freak. Are you riding?
I am riding, yeah. I was out the other day for quite a while. I actually took my grandson out for a bit. Well, you've seen the picture.
I saw that picture. It's a great picture.
Yeah.
On your trike.
Yeah. Hey, David, I got a question. Since you were involved in the Teamsters Union, so I got a question. I've been reading about these driverless trucks that are about to hit the road. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, I wish I had a good answer to that, but that's kind of it. Won't, you know, if it's done, it'll be done by these non-union companies, I'm sure, and then the union companies will follow suit. You know, the sad thing is, Teamsters had at one point about 500,000 drivers, and I bet you they're down to less than 40 now.
Oh, wow, wow.
Well, you know, this goes back. Sure,
it'll do away with jobs, of course.
Yep. And this goes back to a conversation John and I have been having probably as long as I've known John. And it goes to, when did the downturn happen? The beginning of the downturn for America's working class and middle class. And I would argue that the beginning was 1973 when Jimmy Carter...
Well, I think it was in that area.
Yeah,
when
Jimmy Carter began deregulation, and he began it with the trucking industry. And so you went from trucking being dominated by these large freight companies with union drivers, creating middle-class jobs, actually decent jobs, where you couldn't drive more than 500 miles a day, and you made a middle-class living, and you got home, if not every night, every other night, or every third night at least, and turned the industry into owner-operators, independents, nothing against those guys as people, but basically a poverty-level job, falling from a middle-class, family-sustaining job to a poverty-level job starting in 1973. And throughout the rest of the 70s, deregulation picked up steam, privatization picked up steam, and then you had Reagan elected, and you had the assault on the labor movement beginning in earnest with the firing of the air traffic controllers. Is that... Is that right, Dave? Is that kind of the way you see that?
That's the way I see it. It was right in the mid-70s somewhere, right in that area.
Yep.
And then, of course, rail and air and everything followed suit.
Right.
And that done away with hundreds of thousands of good stable union jobs that stabilized the communities, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's great to have my friend David Eckstein with us on the radio. We're going to have Lisa Ring back on at another time. But today we have my good friend and great warrior, David Eckstein. I'm going to tell a funny story on you, David. David was kind of on the outs with President Hoffa after President Hoffa got elected president of the Teamsters. And I wanted bad to hire David Eckstein. And we were working with the Teamsters. And I had, because of the overnight strike and because of the UPS strike and UPS being UPS's headquarters, world headquarters being in Atlanta, Georgia, I had built up a very good relationship with the administration of President Hoffa. And so I called the organizing director, a great guy named John Murphy, who had been one of David's nemesis. And David was sitting by me. We were in the Teamsters building in Washington, D.C., and I was talking to Murphy, who was at his local in Boston. And I couldn't get very far with him. And then I said, well, John, you got to admit that Eckstein is a warrior. And John said, well, you're right about that, Stuart. The some bitch isn't a warrior. But by the end of the conversation, he not only gave us his blessing to hire you, David, but he also said that he would pave the way within the Teamsters. And You certainly did
and
great.
And he kept his word. And,
yeah, he did.
And I kept mine.
Yep. So. Absolutely. And you did great work for us in the Midwest. David's from Indiana and Kentucky. And he's a Harley Davidson freak. Used to ride a motorcycle. Now he rides a tricycle. but the other
yeah,
big...
well, that's
go ahead.
It's still a Harley Davidson, and it's loud and it's fast.
You know, y'all know the old joke. Why don't you ride a Harley? Because of the way it sounds. Potato, 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 potato. So also here on the Trump Watch, here on Resistance Radio, we got to look at this guy, Jared Kushner, who is Trump's son-in-law, married to Ivanka, who by all counts is a very smart, clever young man in his 30s. But he ain't that clever.
By the way,